darkened rooms or hidden cellars, and endlessly searching for the big casino, the Philosopher's Stone, the elixir of life. They tended to be thin, pink-eyed men with beards that weren't really beards but more like groups of individual hairs clustering together for mutual protection, and many of them had that vague, unworldly expression that you get from spending too much time in the presence of boiling mercury. It wasn't that alchemists hated other alchemists. They often didn't notice them, or thought they were walruses. And so their tiny, despised guild had never aspired to the powerful status of the guilds of, say, the thieves, or the beggars, or the assassins, but devoted itself instead to the aid of widows and families of those alchemists who had taken an overly relaxed attitude to potassium cyanide, for example, or had distilled some interesting fungi, drunk the result, and then stepped off the roof to play with the fairies. There weren't actually very many widows and orphans, of course, because alchemists found it difficult to relate to other people long enough. And generally, if they ever managed to marry, it was only to have someone to hold their crucibles. By and large, the only skill the alchemists of Ankh-Morpork had discovered so far was the ability to turn gold into less gold. Until now. Now, they were full of the nervous excitement of those who have found an unexpected fortune in their bank account and don't know whether to draw people's attention to it or simply take the lot and run.
"The wizards aren't going to like it," said one of them, a thin, hesitant man called Lully. "They're going to call it magic. You know, they get really pissed if they think you're doing magic and you're not a wizard."
"There isn't any magic involved," said Thomas Silverfish, the president of the guild.
"There's the imps."
"That's not magic. That's just ordinary occult."
"Well, there's the salamanders."
"Perfectly normal natural history. Nothing wrong with that."
"Well, all right, but they'll call it magic. You know what they're like."
The alchemists nodded gloomily.
"They're reactionaries," said Sendivoge, the guild secretary. "Bloated thaumocrats. And the other guilds, too. What do they know about the March of Progress? What do they care? They could have been doing something like this for years, but did they? Not them. Just think how we can make people's lives so much... well, better. The possibilities are immense."
"Educational," said Silverfish.
"Historical," said Lully.
"And, of course, there's entertainment," said Peavy, the guild treasurer. He was a small, nervous man. Most alchemists were nervous in any case. It came from not knowing what the crucible of bubbling stuff they were experimenting with was going to do next.
"Well, yes, obviously, some entertainment," said Silverfish.
"Some of the great historical dramas," said Peavy. "Just picture the scene. You get some actors together, they act it just once, and people all over the disc will be able to see it as many times as they like. A great saving in wages, by the way," he added.
"But tastefully done," said Silverfish. "We have a great responsibility to see that nothing is done which is in any way..." His voice trailed off. "You know, coarse."
"They'll stop us," said Lully darkly. "I know those wizards."
"I've been giving that some thought," said Silverfish. "The light's too bad here anyway. We agreed we need clear skies and we need to be a long way away. I think I know just the place."
"You know, I can't believe we're doing this," said Peavy. "A month ago it was just a mad idea and now it's all worked. It's just like magic, only not magical, if you see what I mean," he added quickly.
"Not just illusion, but real illusion," said Lully.
"I don't know if anyone's thought about this," said Peavy, "but this could make us a bit of money, hmm?"
"But that isn't important," said Silverfish.
No, of course not," muttered Peavy.
He glanced at the others.
"Shall we watch it again?" he said shyly. "I don't mind turning the handle, and, well, I know I haven't contributed very much to this project, but I did come up with this, this stuff."
He pulled a very large bag from the pocket of his robe and dropped it on the table. It fell over, and a few fluffy, white, misshapen balls rolled out. The alchemist stared at it.
"What is it?" said Lully.
"Well," said Peavy uncomfortably, "what you do is, you take some corn, and you put it in, say, a number 3 crucible with some cooking oil, you see,